when we consider the wisdom of God, we do want to keep those who are sick in our prayers. Received a message from one of our sisters, Sister Casey, saying she wasn't feeling well, so let's keep her in our prayers as well. When we consider the wisdom of God, we're talking about his instruction, the idea of being shrewd, making good decisions. And when we consider that and think about what God wanted for the children of Israel, for those who may be visiting, of course, you see the QR code. You'll get the notes from the QR code there. We are also making those available for those members who are not able to do that. So we are making copies for you. If you have a desire for those copies, just let us know and we'll make extra copies. When we consider the wisdom of God, we know that God always wanted what was good for Israel. He wanted what was right for them. He wanted them to be in the land of Canaan. And in that land, which was a land that floweth with milk and honey, it was a land that he was going to be providing for them because of the promise that he made to Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham that in his seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He also made a land promise to him. And he also made a name promise to him. He's going to make his name great. It is in this second giving of the law that was given that our dear brother actually read, which is real good because God wanted his people, especially the men, to make sure that they taught their children. We see that in Deuteronomy 6. He reminds them in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that he wanted them to have the right heart, to give the right thanks, to make sure that they didn't become haughty and that they didn't fight against God. And we see all of that actually in chapter 8 of the book of Deuteronomy. Yet in chapter 16, where our lesson will be coming from this morning, we understand that God has always been a God who made choices. God has given us choice. He has given us free will, whether to do his will or not. In order for mankind to be righteous, to be right with God, mankind has to understand that God himself is the creator and he is the sustainer of life and that he is the one that in the beginning said, let it be, and it was. We understand that men of old have done what God had told them to do. Men such as Noah, Abraham, as we just mentioned a few minutes ago, Job, Joseph, Moses, Daniel. We find men and women doing what God would have them to do. In essence, they made the choice that God made as well. I believe Hebrews 11 in verse number 1 actually sums it up very nicely. For we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you look at that particular passage very closely and clearly, it is a demonstration that the command of God and the actions of the individual that is performing the command are one in the same. How do I know that I'm faithful? My lifestyle is in accordance to the faith, that system, that command, that ordinance, that precept. And so God has always wanted man to make the same choice that he made. And so when we consider this and we think about this very closely and think about this very clearly, we understand that God desires for us to have the abundant life. God desires for us to have an eternal life. And God desires for us to have the best life. And truly, the best life is the life that follows God. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 1 through verse number 17, here we find Moses, as he, of course, is giving them the second giving of the law. This was before they would go into Canaan's land, which is known as the conquest of Canaan. Here, as he is giving them this law, remember they had come out of Egyptian bondage and God had given them the law on Mount Sinai, and Moses was responsible for giving them that law. And now here's the second generation of the children of Israel, and he is telling them to do some things now, getting them prepared to go. In verse number one, we take notice of some things, and I just want to just go over a few things before we actually get into the heart of the lesson. In verse number one, we see that it is the month of April, or the month of Abib. Abib literally means ear of grain, which means that this was a time in which some type of harvesting would be ready to take place. And so notice what they were supposed to be doing. And keep the Passover to the Lord your God. In the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Therefore, you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God. If you're taking notes, we understand that the Passover, according to Exodus chapter 12, would be that time in which God would command the children of Israel to take a lamb and slaughter it and take the blood and put it on the doorpost and on the lintels. And when God would see the blood, he would pass over. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7, the Bible demonstrates to us that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. He would be that lamb of God which would take away the sin of the world. And so here, notice what he says in verse number 2. Therefore, you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. God is the one that chose to put his name in a certain place, a certain location. Israel didn't have the authority nor the right to choose the place. God chose the place. And we see that also in verse number 6, verse 7, verse 11, verse 15, and verse 16. And so God was the one that was going to choose the place. Israel did not have that right. Israel did not do that. And so we see that, of course, as we said in verse number 6, you see the same language. In verse number 7, you see the same language. In verse number 11, you see the same language. On and on and on, you see that God chooses. God chose the place. But why did God do that? In verse number 2, verse number 6, and verse number 11, God wanted to put his name there. And that's important. Brethren, that's important that God wanted to put his identity there. And the very fact that God wanted to put his identity there should have told Israel something, that his name meant something. It carried great weight. And so we see that in verse number 2, verse number 6, and verse number 11. Look at verse number 6. But at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name remain or abide, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at twilight, at the going down of the sun. At the time you came out of Egypt, here we get insight on the time in which they came out of bondage. But if you look at verse number 11, in verse number 11, you see the same idea. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and your daughter, your male servants and your female servants, the Levites who is within your gates, the strangers and the fatherless, and the widows who are among you, at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. Why is that important? God wanted to make sure that there was identity where his people were going to be, where his name was going to remain. And so in verse number 16, notice what Moses instructs the children of Israel to do by way of God. In verse number 16, three times a year, all of your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He, talking about God, chooses at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacle. Put in your notes Leviticus 23, verse number 15 and following. Here, these three feasts were the feasts that God chose, and they were going to be done at the place where God chose, and God's name was going to be there. And so God would have expectation for his people. Now, brethren, when we think about this, it's amazing that God expected certain things from his people. And nothing has changed even today. In verse number 3, God wanted his people to remember, I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of bondage. I brought you from that land in which you was captive, if you will. In verse number 8, he told them to remember the Sabbath day. Now remember, the Sabbath day was part of the law of Moses, according to Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and following. It was for the children of Israel. It was God that gave them the law on Mount Horeb. As he gave them that law, he wanted them to keep that law. And part of that law was to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. God, in verse number 10, wanted to make sure that the people understood that they had free will, that they could do what they please because he gave them free will. Brother Mike, what does that mean? He can do what he pleases. We know that man can do what they please because man can sin against God. In Numbers chapter 15, when the man was out in the field and the Bible says he was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day, he had free will to do what God said or not. And what happened? They arrested that man, went to Moses, and Moses said, I don't know what to do with him. Let me go and consult the Lord. And the Bible demonstrates that God told him he violated the law. He must die. And he had free will. He could do what he wanted to do. Brethren, it's the same today. Man can do what he wants to do. However, he will pay a price on the day of judgment. Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 1 and following. And so we need to keep that in mind. In verse number 11 and verse number 14, there was great rejoicing that Moses was telling the children of Israel that they should do, as we just read in verse number 11. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God. And he tells them who should be doing that rejoicing. In verse 14, we see the same idea of rejoicing. And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your sons and your daughters. And he goes on and on and on. Who should be rejoicing? I was capitalizing on that point because rejoicing is part of being associated with God. Amen. Rejoicing is part of being associated with God. How can one be associated with God and not rejoice? In verse number 12, we see that he told them to be careful. Be careful that you observe the statutes. In other words, be careful that you do God's will. Be careful to do that. And then again, in verse 16, if you take notice of the verse and look at what he tells them to do. Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place that which he chooses. But if you look at verse number 16, the latter part, and they shall not what? Appear before the Lord empty-handed. God chose a place. God chose to put his name there. God chose three appointed feasts. God told them what to do, how to do it, and who he wanted to do it. And God says, when you show up, don't show up empty-handed. That's interesting. That God did not want those whom he commanded to bring nothing. You got to bring something. But why? Because of Deuteronomy 6:24. Let's turn there real quick. In Deuteronomy 6, verse number 24. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 24. Why did God give commands? Why did God want Israel to observe his commands? And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes. Why? To fear the Lord our God for our good always. that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. God wanted what was best for Israel. God wanted Israel to be preserved. God wanted his people to just listen to him. So God made choices. And the choice that God made for his people ultimately landed the people of God, here it is, in Canaan's land. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 41 and 42, Joshua 21 rather, verse 21 and 22, 41 and 42, get it right. God made promises, and every single one of the promises that God made, he fulfilled it. Now, why is that important? That's important to the children of Israel because it was those promises that actually motivated them to continue to do God's will. That was important for Israel, especially with Joshua at the helm, because God knew that Joshua had it in him to do it. Joshua knew that it didn't matter who was going to stand before him. He just needed to be faithful. He needed to be the one that did God's will. He needed to be the one that did not fear, for God was with him. So I want us to use that as a platform for us to talk this morning concerning wisdom, making the choice God makes. What does that mean? What does that look like? We already know that God does everything for our good. And we already know that the commandments of God lead to not just the abundant life down here, John 10, verse 10, but eternal life with God, Revelation 2 and verse 10. We know this. Why? Because God has outlined it in his word. So point number two, God's choices, or choices God has made for us today. What choices has God made for us today? Number one, he chose fellowship with him, his son, and with his people. I love that point because I was thinking, where should I start? Where should I start? The choice that God made, where should we start? I believe we ought to start with fellowship with God. How can one truly understand the choices of God unless they understand that fellowship is important with God? They have to understand that having fellowship with God is ultimately important. And so in 1 John 1, verses 1 through 7, let's turn there real quick, and I want you to notice something very swiftly. I'm not going to go through all of these points, but I figured that I'll give you all the notes that I can give you, and you can go back and do your own personal study. But in the beginning, we understand that fellowship with God was vitally important. And so understanding that Jesus, the Word of God, Word in flesh, and that man who is the Word of God was actually on the cross, that the Gnostics at this particular time were saying that that wasn't God in the flesh on the cross, which would undermine all of Christianity. It was important for them to understand that if I'm going to have fellowship with God, that I had to believe that the Word became flesh and that was the Word on the cross. And so that which was from the beginning, verse 1, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, our hands have handled concerning the Word of life. The life was manifest and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have, notice this, fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. Why? That your joy may be full. Friends, when we think about the fellowship that John was handing over or trying to get them to see that they had to have with the Father, it's important for us to know that we have to have fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and also with the brethren. And the only way that can take place, number one, is through the understanding of God's word, eliminating sin out of our lives, having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather exposing it, and even it in our lives. And so we see this, and it's very important for us to understand that we have to walk in the light. But what does that mean to walk in the light? means to walk according to God's will, his word, Psalm 119:105. Brethren, when we stop and we consider this and we think about, what does God want from me? God wants me to make the same choice he makes. Well, what choice is that? To be in the light. Look at 1 John 1, look at verse 7. And I'm going to put a word in there, and you go back and look at it. It's in the Greek. It's amazing. Go back and look at it. In verse number 7, the Bible says, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light. You see that? As he himself, God himself, Christ himself is in the light. So what does it mean? If Christ himself is in the light, then we need to walk in the light with him. Which makes sense, because the day in which we were immersed into Christ, the day in which we obeyed the gospel, we were baptized into the possession of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, thus baptized into Christ, and now we've been clothed with Christ, we're holding hands with Christ. This is why it's so important for us to continue to walk in the light and to understand that true fellowship is when we're walking in the light. So what choice has God made for us? God has made the choice for us to walk in the light. What choice should we make? The same choice. We should make the same choice to walk according to the word, not our own understanding, Proverbs 3, verse number 5. And in that choice, brethren, we want to make sure that we share it with everybody. What does that mean? I want to make sure that my life is exposed to all men in order for them to see Christ living in me, the hope of glory, Colossians 1 and verse 27. I made this point in Bible class. I'm going to make it right here. It's in your notes number 4. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse number 13. Again, Peyton brought this point out on Wednesday night. Excellent point. Been pondering it. Why? Because when I consider walking in the light, I consider the fellowship that we have with God, the fellowship that we have one with another, and in that, I want to invite people over in order for them to be exposed to that fellowship. Brother Royce, exposed to that light. Exposed to that teaching. And so the more I thought about that, I'm like, that's an excellent point. And no wonder that's a qualification for an elder. No wonder we as the people of God must be people who are walking in the light, having fellowship with one another, having fellowship with God. No wonder God wants us to be a people who enjoy hospitality, idea there, the love of strangers. To invite strangers into your home. For what purpose? That they may be exposed to fellowship. Fellowship with who? Fellowship with God. Why? Because I'm representing God. And so in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 13, notice what the Bible here demonstrates. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. The idea is the idea of being addicted to hospitality. Are we? Are we exposing hospitality or fellowship or the light to those who are on the outside? Do we really believe people are lost? As was stated earlier. Because if we do, we'll invite them and we'll make the same choice that Jesus made. Jesus invited himself into Zacchaeus' house. Today I'll be at your house. Today salvation will be at your house. That's basically what he was saying. We ought to be inviting people, brethren, inviting people to study the word of God with us. What choice did God make? God made the choice to fellowship with us. We ought to make the choice to fellowship with him, his son, and with others. But how did God choose that means of fellowship? I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of James. And when we think about fellowship, we're talking about joint participation, talking about koinonia, talking about coming together, having a oneness, a unity, if you will. And so when we think about this, God has chosen a system by which to draw men to his son, John chapter 6, 44 and 45. He has chosen a system of teaching, if you will. And in that system of teaching, it is designed to expose the righteousness of God. It is designed to demonstrate the love of God, the mercy of God, the wrath of God. It's designed to demonstrate who God is. But ultimately, it's designed to demonstrate God's liberty for mankind. In James chapter 1 and verse number 20, let's start at verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror or a glass. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the what? Perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of freedom, if you will. That divine plan, that divine ordinance, that divine system of freedom. And make no mistake about it, when we stop and we consider God's will, his plan, his word, we consider that it is designed to free man up. No wonder Jesus would say, you shall know the truth, you know the rest. It shall make you what? Free. And so God's perfect law of freedom is designed to do exactly that. And continue in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in his deeds. Now, I make that point to make this point. It is the perfect law of liberty. The law of Moses was nailed to the cross. I'm only making that point because it's important for us to understand, according to Colossians 2:11-14, even as members of the church, sometimes you hear brethren, they say, well, we keep the Ten Commandment laws today. Brethren, we don't keep the Ten Commandment laws. The Ten Commandments were not given to us. Jesus nailed that to the cross. We got to get that in our minds. And the reason why is because God wants us to bear fruit unto him through Jesus Christ, Romans 7:4. The old law didn't have the provision of the forgiveness of sins. Why? Because it took the new law, Jeremiah 31:31-34, which is seen also in Hebrews 8:8-13. It is the law of Christ that has the provision of forgiveness of sins. And you remember the children of Israel had to bring their offering and they brought it to the priest and the priest took it to the high priest and they will offer it. And you remember their sins actually rolling forward until the coming of Christ. But as a child of God, you know, when we ask God to forgive us, it takes place immediate. Right then. Why would I even want to be under a system that has the blood of bulls and goats as its substance? For the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin, friends. Hebrews 10:1-4. But it took the blood of Christ, Hebrews 9:14-15, which is for the elimination of sin from the conscience. It's important for us to understand that. When Jesus nailed that old law to the cross, he said it was finished, and it was. Some people say, well, I just believe I'm supposed to keep Ten Commandment laws because I see so many of them from the mouth of Jesus. Friends, let's choose what God chooses. He chose salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. He did not choose salvation through Moses. And even though the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord, which was the law of Moses, was pointing to Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:19-24. So I wanted to make that point because God has a gospel system. Turn to Mark 16. Mark 16, Jesus, from his very mouth, friends, from his very mouth, he said this himself. It makes no sense how men can conjure up in their mind and express in from their mouth that Jesus didn't mean this. It doesn't make any sense to me. If Jesus is true and we can trust him, and if the words of Jesus is true when he was speaking to the thief on the cross, why can't the words of Jesus after the cross, after his resurrection, talking to his disciples be just as true? They ought to be. Brethren, are we paying attention to that? Because I guarantee you, you'll talk to someone and they'll say, well, what about the thief on the cross? Jesus said after his resurrection, which means this was after his situation and incident and episode with the thief on the cross, which according to Mark 2:9-10, he had the power to forgive sin on earth. He said something very powerful. In verse 16, and he said to them, verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world, that's creation, the inhabited world, and preach the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings. to every creature. He's not talking about your pets. He's talking about conscience creation. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Jesus said that with his own mouth. Brethren, we have to believe that. This is what we have to teach. And we need to choose what he chooses. Sister Evelyn, from this point forward, I'm just going to tell people, will you just choose what God chooses, please? Please choose what God chooses. He's the one that's offering the salvation. And he is the one that's offering the place of salvation. And that place is his son's body, the church. Go to Acts 2. Let's look at verse number 47. Acts 2 and verse 47. In Acts 2 and verse 47, friends, here you got the second gospel sermon, if you will. The first gospel sermon, we understand that God preached the gospel to Abraham. See that in Galatians chapter 3, I believe it is. And here we see in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the gospel is being preached. And it's interesting, we see them obeying the gospel in verse number 41. We see worship service in verse number 42. We see them continuing daily with one accord in verse number 46. And notice verse number 47. The Lord added to the church daily. Why don't we choose what God chooses? What should we choose? We ought to choose the church that God chose. And brethren, when we stop and we consider this, let us not vacillate in our own minds. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. Let us not be doubting what God has said in his word. Let's make the choice that God makes. God placed salvation in the Lord's church, his son's church, the church of Christ. That's the church that we ought to choose. How do we know that? In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 13, for by one spirit, revelation. The Holy Spirit brought revelation. For by one spirit, we're all baptized, immersed into one body. That body is the church, Colossians 1:18. But turn to Romans 16:16. Sometimes we need just a little bit more proof. Just a little bit more proof. Proof is good. We need proof. As a matter of fact, when people are speaking religiously, you ought to demand proof. Proof is good. Proof might not win in a court of law in the United States of America, but it will always win on a day of judgment with God. In Romans 16 and verse number 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. At one time in America, that's what the church was known for. They would put that as an insignia on the sign. Don't be ashamed of the Lord's church. Don't be ashamed of the name. Remember, God chose to put his name somewhere. God chose to put his name in Christ, in the church. Don't be ashamed of the name. Acts 11, 26, don't be ashamed of the name. Suffer for the name, 1 Peter 4, verse 16. And so God chose a way. And in that way of salvation, he wants all men, just do what my son said. Choose to obey my son. And brethren, we ought to do just that. And no wonder Jesus would say, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. Isn't it interesting, Brother Mark? He didn't say, I am a way. He said, I am the way, which means that if a person wants to go through Moses today, they're going the wrong way. And we discussed this on Wednesday night as we were looking at the Mount of Transfiguration and how Moses and Elijah in Luke chapter 9, verses 20 and following, that they was talking with Jesus about his decease and how he was going to die. You remember what God said from heaven? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Listen to him. Guess who God has chosen for us to listen to today? Not Moses, not Elijah. Brethren, we listen to Jesus today. It baffles me how smart, intelligent men and women can look at the scriptures and say, well, no, that's not true. Well, but he said it with his own mouth. Well, that's a misinterpretation. Well, what if I don't interpret and just read it for what it says? Why don't I just do that? Did he mean what he said or not? When I was a kid, and I don't know how y'all parent today, but when I was a kid, when mom and dad said something, they meant it. Well, dad, I thought you meant this. Well, go in there. I'll be in there in 5 minutes. Then you'll know what I meant. I hated that. Because I learned my lesson. When Dad said something, guess what? He meant it. Let me tell you something else that I thought my dad meant. This is free. Time out. When I was 15 years old, I had the audacity to take my dad's green 1971 Buick Electra around the corner. Man, I'm driving, whipping, and running. I'm gone. One day, this lady came out in front of me, and I pow! I'm like, 15 years old, no license, shouldn't even been in the car. I was a dead man. I knew it. I knew it. I'm done. Man, that man, now he's about as black as me, y'all. I'll just call it what it is. I thought that man was green when he got out of his truck. Remember back in the day, they had the Incredible Hulk? Boys, he said, son, if I whip you today, I'll kill you. I said, Daddy, I love you. I appreciate it. He didn't whoop me that day. But guess what I learned? I learned to choose what Dad chose. What was that? Don't drive his car. You know, we ought to learn to choose what our Father in heaven chooses for us. Don't be nowhere we shouldn't be. Be where we're supposed to be. Do what we're supposed to be doing. And so I end with this. Come back tonight. We're going to be really fleshing this out more, but I wanted to throw this out there because if we make the choices that God makes, brethren, we can ensure faithfulness. We don't have to guess. We don't have to feel. We don't have to think. Brethren, we can know. If I choose what God chooses, I know I'm right with him. I know it. So I need to choose the right memorials. What do I mean by that? We just took the Lord's Supper. And in that, we should have been remembering what God chose for us to remember. What's that? The Lord's death. And our minds should have went to the cross. And as Brother Dustin eloquently took us through the text in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through the end of the chapter, and I appreciate him going all the way through the chapter, because we are supposed to judge ourselves. God chooses for us to judge ourselves in worship during the Lord's Supper. He chose that for us. We ought to choose to do that too. That's not a time for us to be doing other things. That's not a time for us to be playing. It's not our time for us to be doing anything else but doing what God has chosen for us. That's remembering his Lord, the Lord's death, and examining ourselves so we're not judged with the world. And brethren, let us never forget to choose to come to worship on the first day of the week. I'm talking to the choir because you're here. However, we understand that brethren sometimes make the decision not to come to worship. And it's not for reasons that are complimentary to God. Brethren, on the first day of the week, unless you are providentially hindered, meaning that it's beyond your control, brethren, you ought to be here. You ought to be here on the first day of the week. Why? To honor God, Hebrews 10 and verse number 25. To exhort the brethren, Hebrews 10 verse number 24. But why? Because we want to make sure that we choose to keep the memorial that God chose for us. And brethren, what better memorial to keep? 9/11 comes around. July 4th comes around, Independence Day. Those are great memorials, and we need to make sure that we look to those and remember what took place. However, there's a memorial that takes place every first day of the week. And we should never forget that. If you know of a child of God, hear me out, please. If you know of a child of God who has forsaken the assembly and they're not coming to worship, plead with them. Can you start making the choice that God makes? We're not talking about those who can't get out. We're not talking about those who are sick. We're not talking about those. We're talking about those who are not being faithful. Our marriage, we ought to choose marriage. Why? Because God did. In the beginning, he chose it. Now we got men and women choosing all types of things. Brethren, choose marriage. Young people, don't play with sin. Don't play with sex. Don't play with pornography. Don't play with it. Leave it alone. Be right with God. Make the right choice. Make sure you set your affections on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Brethren, choose what God has chosen. You'll have the abundant life. You'll have a great life. I promise you, you'll have a strong marriage. It's not that you won't have problems in your marriage. Everybody has problems in their marriage from time to time. However, there's a difference between having a problem and being the problem. Even in our marriage to Christ. One thing about our head, Jesus the Christ, the husband of the church, he's never the problem. It's always the bride. Brethren, God made a choice. What choice? He made a choice for us to be holy, even as he is holy. And so God has chose spiritual nourishment, not carelessness. He's chose safety and security in Christ, not instability. Brethren, God has made the right choice. We ought to choose the right thing too. I end with this. You remember how we started in Deuteronomy chapter 16. And we understand that God wanted his name to abide in a place. What name? What name do you want to abide by? Do you want to abide by your name or by the name of Jesus Christ? And one thing we love about God, or we ought to love about God, that he has given us a name. Well, my name is Mike Bonner. Well, it may be, but truly my name is Christian, because that's my identity. And there's a great identity crisis, even amongst the people of God. And it could be because they haven't made the choice that God made for them. But one thing we can love about God, he won't make you do anything. As the Bible demonstrates to us in Revelation 22 and verse 17, the Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters freely. You know what that teaches us? That even though God has made the choice, he wants you to make that choice to love him, abide in him, to do his will. And when you do that, your life will be the better. I promise you. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll offer the Lord's invitation. Our God and our Father in heaven, we're thankful for the day that you blessed us to have, and thankful for this great people that are here. We're thankful for the love you've demonstrated toward us by giving us your Son. And we pray and we hope that we have done our due diligence, Father, in being here. Father, we're about to leave this place, but we pray to Father that you'll be with us, and that we have made the choice to be with you, that we will be of a sound mind, that we'll be holy in our thoughts and our actions, and that we'll strive to encourage our brethren who are not in fellowship, who have decided to walk away from the fellowship, to encourage them, to admonish them, to rebuke them if need be. We pray to Father that we'll always strive to make the same choice you make. For in doing that, Father, we'll know we're faithful, and that you're pleasing unto you. Forgive us when we fall short. Forgive us when we sin. Give us the courage to admit those things, to confess those things, and help us to be a people who are seeking to bring others to your Son, Jesus Christ, through our fellowship with you, your Son, and with the brethren. Father, we love you. We're thankful for this opportunity. And it may be our last, but we pray to Father that we have done it right, and that you're pleasing, and that you will find us faithful. In Christ's name, amen. If not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider making the choice. What choice? The choice to deny yourself, to deny what you think is right, and position yourself to know what is right. By believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, be willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, and be buried in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And God will do something amazing in your life. as God has made choice, Acts 15:7, God has made choice to put us in Christ and save you from your sin and from his wrath. What a beautiful God that's sitting above us. But maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been making the right choices. You've been making your own choices based upon your own understanding and what you think is right. Well, turn around from that and begin making your choices based upon the choices that God has made for us. And I guarantee you, your life will begin to turn around because your thinking has turned around. As we stand and as we sing over Savior's invitation.